All right, well, it is good to be in church tonight, amen? Amen? Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. And if you're already judging the message, no, I'm not preaching on that tonight. Not against that subject, but those aren't the verses we're going to look at tonight. Malachi chapter 3, it is great to be at Grace of Calvary. And every single Sunday, I want to clone myself and be here. And I wish I could be where I am and be here at the same time. And so if y'all have any insight on that, let me know, all right? And but as far as I know, I don't think I can only be at one place at one time. But I tell you what, God has been blessing. It's been amazing. It really has, just the encouragement. I'll tell you a couple of stories. One was really cute. A few days ago, we were preaching a revival meeting, and three little girls, they couldn't be more than 10, probably younger than that, walked up to me, Brother Ahlquist, and had a bag of money, and they said, "We collected this because we knew you were coming." And when I unwrapped it, it was $1.59. But I thought about that as probably the biggest offering from God's perspective that I may have gotten since we've started this. Well, I tell you, this past Sunday, a couple days ago, I was preaching in a church, great response to the altar, but one thing just really humbled me, and just... It was amazing. The altar filled up, but a gentleman who was in a wheelchair. He summoned two guys, one to pull the wheelchair, push the wheelchair, and one to carry his oxygen tank. And he wanted to pray. And I thought he wanted to pray out front. Then he summoned both of those men to lift him up out of the wheelchair and placed him in the altar. And the man prayed. And I thought, how about us? Who remain unbent and unbroken. And here's a man who would have every reason to stay where he was and literally fell on the altar and wept and prayed. And then summoned those two gentlemen, got them back in his chair, and went back to his seat. I felt like going into the altar, you know, after that. But it's been a blessing. I think we probably, by the time the year is done, I was praying to be in 20 churches from when we started. We were here first Sunday of August from then till the end of the year. It's going to be closer to 30 churches that we've been in. And Lord's just done it. It's been amazing. And people thanking us, crying many times. We're going to go forward for God. Thank you for encouraging us. God sent you just at a time we needed. Just stories like that. And it's all because of you guys. And listen, we don't have a ministry without the grace of Calvary Baptist Church. And your prayers and your giving is making a difference more than you know. And isn't heaven going to be something? Think about this. You're going to have someone walk up to you and say, "Hey, thank you." And you're going to say, "I never met you before." And they're going to be able to say something like this: "Well, because you gave and prayed, Brother Locke came to our church. And because he came to our church, my pastor got encouraged. And because my pastor got encouraged, he kept on with the gospel and kept on, and I got saved after he got discouraged." You know, we're going to understand all that. That's going to be an amazing thing when we see all that. And so thank you so much. We love being here, and I wish we could be here more. I think we do have some Wednesday nights hopefully opening up, and so we're going to try to come just as often as we can. And preacher, we love you, and we love our church, and just wish we could come more, but so glad to be here tonight. Do pray for my son, Evan, and my wife doesn't normally usually go to church with me, and but anyways, so our son, Evan, is sick tonight, and so it's just Hallie and I flying solo with Hallie tonight, so she's keeping me straight, praise the Lord. All right, amen. Malachi chapter 3, let's look at verse 13. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, God says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Now let's stop right there for a moment. What's happening here? Well, there's a group of people that were speaking against God. And God says, "Your words have been stout against me." And what they were saying so much in a nutshell was, it doesn't do any good to serve the Lord. Hey, let's just be honest tonight, folks. The world thinks we're crazy. Agreed? Agreed. They do. They think we're crazy. I mean, maybe if you have a little Sunday morning religion, the world maybe could understand that. If you need to check the God box, right, once a week, do your hour. But I mean, if you're involved, I mean, you're coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then if you would come out with all the snow that's on the ground outside there, you're here tonight, the world thinks, the group in here tonight, you're really crazy, right? We're really crazy for being here tonight. It doesn't do any good to serve the Lord. They're saying, what profit does it do? And then they go on, they say, you know, the crowd to be in is not that crowd. The crowd to be in, you need to be with the movers. You need to be with the shakers. You need to be with the proud, the self-sufficient. You know, this is thousands of years old. But you know what? The world hasn't changed, have they? They think we're crazy. And they think that crowd is the crowd to be in. And so they launched this question, what good does it do to serve the Lord? That's what they were asking. It really doesn't pay. Well, I want to preach on this thought for a few moments tonight. It pays to serve Jesus. Amen? It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. And they challenged the Lord and they said it doesn't pay. Well, verses 16, 17, and 18, I believe that Malachi gives us three reasons why it does pay to serve the Lord. And I hope tonight that you'll get them in your heart, in your notebook, but in your heart. And I hope you write them down somewhere, because you know what? Truth of the matter is, we all get discouraged. Truth there? Amen? We all get discouraged, all right? There's not one person here tonight that you say, well, I just never get discouraged. Sometimes we think, maybe for a fleeting moment, maybe for a longer than fleeting moment, does it really do any good what we're doing? I mean, we're trying to come to church, we're trying to be faithful, we try to tithe, we try to give. We're going to try to give to meet this need for the bus, and we're going to try to, we try to serve. We're involved with the play ministry. We're involved in visitation. We're involved in RU. We're involved with Handmaids of the Lord. We're involved in the Saints of the Round Table. We're involved in all these things. What good does it do? You're going to come to those question times in your life, and we all do. And I want you to remember these things. Does it really pay to serve the Lord? The first reason that Malachi gives why it does pay to serve the Lord is in verse 16. Because look what it says. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought about upon his name. Number one tonight. Listen, why it pays to serve the Lord. Number one, because the Lord remembers his own. He remembers his own. Now, the group he's talking to, verse 16, look at it. Then they that feared the Lord. Now, that's the exact opposite of the group we saw in verse 13 that said it doesn't do any good to serve the Lord. Those who don't fear the Lord. And can I just say this as someone, again, I'm not versed evangelist by any means. I've been only traveling for a few months. But can I tell you, we've already been in Pennsylvania. We've been in West Virginia. We've been in Virginia. We've been in Tennessee. We've been in Georgia. We've been in Kentucky. We've been in Ohio. We've been in New York. And can I tell you, there are groups of people all over this country just like this, all over our great country. There is. Hey, listen, you won't find them on Fox News. You won't find them on CNN. You won't find them there. We're not in the mainstream. We're not in the headlines. But you know what? There is a group of faithful people all over this great country that love the Lord, that want to serve the Lord, that are doing their best for the Lord. God has his group, all right? And you know what? No matter how dark it gets, God always has his group. All right? We may be, you know, the world would call us the four F's, freaks, fools, fanatics, and fundamentalists, right? And somebody said, I'm a nut, but I'm attached to the right bolt. Amen? No doubt. We're the master's minority. We're the faithful few. We're the little flock. But you know what? God always has his crowd. Now, this is interesting to me. The Bible says here in verse 16, there was a book of remembrance. You see, God's angel is inscribing certain things about us. It says it's written before him. You say, well, preacher, what is God writing down in that book? Well, first of all, look at verse 16. Let's notice some things. I believe we see our character in verse 16. You say, where do you see that? Well, the first part of the verse says, then they that feared the Lord. I believe listen, there's no better mark of character than that, to fear the Lord. By the way, there's no worse thought of character than if you don't fear the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Romans says when he was describing the ungodly, he says there's no fear of God before their eyes. You see, they that feared the Lord, that's our character, I believe. Now, when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, I don't believe that's cringing dread. Now, if you're not right with God, there ought to be cringing dread. But listen, we love to be in His presence. Amen. We want to. Listen, I believe the fear of the Lord has to do with awe and reverence and respect for the glory and the majesty of the Lord. Somebody once said that the fear of the Lord is love on its knees. I like that definition. And he who fears God the most loves Him the best. Then they that feared the Lord. And so our character is found. He's writing that down. And when we fear Him, when we reverence Him, when we respect Him, when we have that awe for Him, you know what God says? I'm writing that down. There He is. There He is. There she is. They reverence me. Our character is there. Now look at somebody else in verse 16. I believe not only our character, but our contemplation. Because he says in verse 16 at the end of the verse, and that thought about upon His name. That thought upon His name. You see, not only is God recording our deeds, He's recording our thoughts. Now, you know what we've done tonight? Let's think about this for a moment. You know why we've come in the snow and all that? You know what we've come to do? We've come to think about His name. Amen? By the way, that's what you think about Christ-honoring music and biblical preaching. You know what it does? It uplifts Christ. All right? That's why we don't have a praise band here at Grace of Calvary. All right, listen, because much of Christian music, if you want to use that, is look at me. Look at me. Let me perform for you. Listen, so you leave saying, wow, what a great singer. No, we ought to leave tonight saying, what a great Savior. Amen. Not what a great preacher, what a great Savior. Listen, all the attention goes to Christ. Because here's the thing. When we think about His name, as it says here in verse 16, you know what God says? I write that down. He's thinking about my name. She's thinking about me. She's thinking about my name. We have come here tonight to think about His name. Now you say, preacher, what's the big deal? Why is it so important to think about His name? Well, listen to Psalm 9, verse 10. Let me give you a Bible answer for that. Psalm 9, verse 10, the Bible says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Think of that. If you know God's name, guess what? You know His character. You know who He is. And if you know His character, guess what? You're going to want to trust Him. I can promise you that. If you know who the Lord is, He is trustworthy. And you're going to want to trust Him. Let me give you some examples of that. His name is Jehovah Jireh. You know what that means? God will provide. The God who will provide. Folks, listen. I could honestly, Elkus, God knows the truth. I could keep you here till midnight and tell you story after story of what God has done for me since August 1st till today, how God's provided. It's been incredible. I told someone the other day, and I had tears in my eyes when I said it then. I'm going to have tears in my eyes when I say it again. God's done more for me in the last 4 months than He's done in the last 4 years. I mean, so real, so amazing. I'll tell you, I had one today. This is amazing today. Last week, we had an ice storm. And where my car was parked, a tree fell on it. Now, it's drivable, and it's actually very drivable. But the insurance company today says, why don't you just get this little blah, blah, blah fixed and just pocket the rest of the money? It's going to be in the thousands. I'm probably going to walk away with thousands of dollars over and above getting just some. I'm just telling you, that's just one instance of how God just provides. You know what? He's Jehovah Jireh. By the way, preacher, you helped me a few weeks ago. I'll go ahead and say this. I told you, and you verify this story. I said, you know what? When I stepped out by faith, I said, how am I going to take care of my kids? How am I going to take care of my family? And you know what our preacher said? He said, God can say to us, they were His kids before they were my kids. He's going to take care of His kids. That helped me that day, preacher. Thank you. Hey, you know what? You know what he was saying? He's Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. His name is Jehovah Sitkenu. You know what that means? The Lord our righteousness. When we sin, we can run to that name for cleansing. Amen? Praise God. He can cleanse us, and He will cleanse us. He's Jehovah Shalom. You know what that means? Peace. Peace. We have a world today that's frantic. They don't have any peace. You know why? They don't know the Prince of Peace. He's Jehovah Shalom. His name means peace. The Bible says, think about this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Hey, listen, we keep our mind stayed on the Lord. You know what we're going to have? Peace. You know why we get frantic sometimes? I said we. I'm preaching one finger at you and four back at me. You know why we get frantic sometimes? We get our eyes off the Lord. Kind of like Simon Peter, we get our eyes off the Lord. His name is Jehovah Shalom. It means peace. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Hey, we have a battle to fight, and it is a battle, isn't it? There's a battle for our lives. There's a battle for our homes. There's a battle for our marriages. There's a battle for our church. I'm glad we don't have to fight it alone. The Lord is our banner. Amen. He's Jehovah Nissi. We can fight under the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Shema, means the Lord who is present. Praise the Lord when we feel lonely and when we need him. Praise the Lord. He is the one who is ever present. He is an ever present help in our time of need. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You think about that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a place of refuge. You know what a strong tower is? It's a place of power. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a place of power. Let me tell you about that and something else. It's a place of protection. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. There is perspective. How many of you have ever been up at a tower? Would you raise your hand? I'm going to ask you another question because I'm close enough to this. How many were ever up in the tower that's in Marionville, Pennsylvania, that fire tower? Anybody there? You've been in it? All right, a couple of you guys have been. I was there when I was a kid. You know what? Totally different perspective when you're up in a tower. Am I right? Hey, listen. Whole different perspective when we get it from this perspective. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Let me show you something else from Malachi chapter 3 that God writes down. I believe he writes down our conversation. Because he says in verse 16 that they spake one to another. Hey folks, God knows what we say. And may I just say this? And look at verse 13 to see it. If there's this crowd have been speaking against the Lord, you know what? There needs to be a crowd speaking for the Lord. Amen. Speaking for the Lord. Psalm 66, 16 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. That's what we ought to be doing. Just telling people what Jesus has done for us. Notice something else he writes down. Our character, we fear the Lord. Our contemplations, we think about him. Our conversation, we speak for him. But notice another thing. He writes down our company in that book. Because it says they spake one to another. Hey, listen, where is this tonight? And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but where is this that we have diminished church attendance today? You know what? We need to get together. Amen? There is something about it. Now, can we worship the Lord on our own? Absolutely. Can God meet with us in our homes? Absolutely. Can God, I'm telling you what, sometimes God will show up in our family devotions, and it's wonderful, and it's sweet, and I love that. But you know what? There's just something about getting together. I've been looking forward to this tonight. He said, you know, hey, why don't you preach? I was looking forward to coming tonight before I knew I was going to preach. I love being with God's people. Amen. Getting together, speaking about him, singing together, and just lifting up the name of the Lord. He writes down our company in the book. That's why the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, folks, we're not going to need church less. As Jesus comes, we're going to need it more. Amen. We're going to need the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have to do it alone. God never designed for us to do it alone. We need to get together. And when we do, God says, I write it down. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Well, let me move on. Number two tonight. Number two. I'll give this illustration. I heard it several years ago in Hawaii. The airplane took off. And after it took off, there was a loud boom. I always feared that myself. Never happened to me, but there was a loud boom. And 9 people were sucked to their death. They landed the plane, and they found out what the problem was somebody had failed to latch the cargo door. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get in a plane, I'll do this number. You know how you walk into the plane? I'll look at the pilots real quick, like, hope they look halfway normal, amen? And we hope the pilots are good, and we hope, you know, and I do, I know, right? I'll eyeball the plane, right? Like I would know if something was wrong. Oh, this plane don't look right, you know, I don't know. I'll eyeball that plane a second, you know, and we get in there and we sit down, and you know what we don't think about? We don't think about that maybe the fate of our lives is in the hands of the guy who's in charge of closing the cargo door. You know, we come to church and we think, boy, I hope we have good singing. Hope we have good preaching. Hope, you know what? Thank God for the people in the church who close the cargo doors. Thank God for the people. Hey, listen, I pulled in tonight. There were people sweeping this front here. You know what? They're not going to lose their reward. You say, oh, preacher, you come tonight, and boy, you're going to have a good message, and if you do, you'll get some handshakes, and boy, that was a great message. And you know what? If I'm faithful to do what God tells me to do, then I will receive a reward. But so will you. So will all of us. God writes it down. We're not going to lose our reward. Praise the Lord. And you know what? You say, I don't know. Does it do any good to serve the Lord? Well, when God opens up that book of remembrance, and he wrote down the things that you did to serve the Lord. Hey, listen, things people have forgotten. Things maybe nobody ever saw. Nobody ever gave you a pat on the back. Nobody ever gave you the attaboy. Nobody ever gave you the accolades. I'm here to tell you tonight, according to the Word of God, God hasn't forgotten. God writes it all down. And you know what you're going to be, you know what you're going to say? I'm glad I served the Lord when you see that book of remembrance. Amen. The Lord remembers his own. And you're going to say, boy, praise the Lord, I served the Lord. Number two tonight, does our Lord remember his own? Oh, I spilled the water. Praise the Lord for whose job it is to clean that up. Amen. Amen. You will not lose your reward. Amen. Oh, hang on. I can get that book. All right. I almost got wet the book of remembrance. Amen. Don't want to do that. All right. Number two, look at verse 17. Not only does our Lord remember his own, but number two, our Lord rejoices over his own. Look at verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now look at verse 17, and they, that's those who fear the Lord. Now listen, God has many names for his children. Sometimes we're called servants. Sometimes we're called sons. Sometimes we're called ambassadors. Sometimes we're called friends, saints, many names. But I don't know of anything that's more precious than this name the Lord gives us in verse 17, is that we are his jewels. His jewels. Now what does a person do with his jewels? He rejoices over them. My wife and I met in Bible college. And can I just tell you this? When I was in Bible college, Brother Alquist, I was dirt poor. I mean, I was poorer than a church mouse. I mean, to say I was as poor as a church mouse would be an offense to the church mouse. Amen. But anyways, it was tough. It was tough. But you know, my wife and I, we married. We met each other in college. And I knew we were going to get married. I knew she was the one. And we went shopping one day, Brother Alquist, for a wedding ring. And we wanted to pick it out. And we went into one place, and there was nothing there that she just loved. We went to a second store, and we walked in there, and she put on the ring that she wears today. And Brother Alquist, she began to cry. And then I saw the price tag. And I began to cry. Amen. No. Half of that story is true, the first part. And I'm like, oh boy, this is the one. This is the one. And by the grace of God, I scrimped and I saved. And I bought her that ring. And, you know, I've seen other ladies, Brother Alquist, I've seen other ladies' wedding rings. I mean, some of them, you almost need a pair of sunglasses. I mean, it's like, wow, what a rock. You know, that's pretty amazing. You know what? Some are bigger than my wife's ring. Some are probably fancier and more flashy. You know what? I don't believe she'd trade that ring for anything. You know why? Because that's a precious jewel. She knows the love and the sacrifice that went behind the getting of that ring. It's a precious jewel. That's what God's saying here in verse 17. We are his precious jewel. Think with me for very quickly. First of all, notice that we are possessed by him. He says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Then think with me very quickly that we are perfected by him. He says, when I make up my jewels in verse 17, that is, when I put them in their proper setting. There's an old hymn we used to sing. I used to sing when I was growing up, when he cometh, what he cometh, to make up his jewels. All his jewels, precious jewels, his loved in his own, like the stars of the morning, their bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. We are possessed by him. We are perfected by him. We are precious to him. We are preserved by him. Look what he says in verse 6, 17, the end of the verse. He says, and I will spare them. as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Man, friend, let me say this. When Jesus comes to make up his jewels, and you become a setting for his crown to give him glory, you know what you'll say? I'm glad I served Jesus. Amen. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. But the third reason that Malachi gives in verse 18, look at verse 18. He gives three reasons. He said the Lord remembers his own in verse 16. The Lord rejoices over his own in verse 17. But look at verse 18. The Lord is going to return for his own in verse 18. And it says in verse 18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Hey, listen, there's a great division day coming. A crowd that says it didn't do any good to serve the Lord doesn't do any good. And those who said, yes, it does. It pays to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There is coming a great separation day. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for a minute. Because what Malachi prophesied, the Apostle Paul filled in the blanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Friend, if you don't think it does any good to serve the Lord, I have one thing to say to you. It ain't over yet. It's not over yet. Jesus Christ is coming again. May I say some things about from this passage of Scripture? First of all, there's a return. Jesus Christ is coming again, amen. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King Jesus is coming again. There is a return. You see, the incarnation without the coronation is only half the story. It's like having depth without height. It's like having east without west. But you mark her down just as clearly as I'm standing here. The same Jesus that fed 5,000. The same Jesus that walked on water. The same Jesus that raised the dead. The same Jesus that died. The same Jesus that was buried. The same Jesus that rose again is coming again. And he's coming soon, I believe. And he is coming actually. He's coming visibly. He's coming literally. He's coming bodily. And it says, then shall ye return, Malachi said. There's going to be a return. You say, preacher, what's going to happen after that? Then there's going to be a resurrection. A resurrection. You see, when Jesus Christ comes, there'll be a shout from his lips. The Bible says he's going to come with a shout. I believe I know what he's going to say. I believe he's going to say, come forth. You say, how do you know? Well, last time he said that, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And by the way, he did. But this time he's just going to leave Lazarus off. Amen. Amen. Come forth. And you know what? If you're buried in the sea and you're saved, you're coming. If you're buried in the sand and you're saved, you're coming. And listen, if you're on the mantle somewhere, you're coming. Amen. It doesn't matter where you are. You will come. And friend, what a day that's going to be when Satan's doom of death will crumble like a house of cards. When he says, come forth. Multiplied millions will come when he says, come forth. There's going to be a return. There's going to be a resurrection. Then there's going to be a rapture. Look at verse 17. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In the moment, twinkling of an eye. I would say it's that fast. It's actually quicker than that. That fast. But friend, he's not coming for everybody, only the saved. In Western Pennsylvania, we have a lot of scrap yards. I don't know about up in Erie, I haven't lived here yet, but a lot of scrap yards in Western Pennsylvania. And some of them scrap yards will have big electromagnets that can sweep across that thing. But you know what? It doesn't pick everything up. Are you listening? It only picks up those things that share the nature of the magnet. There may be pretty things. There may be expensive things by the world's standards. There may be flashy things, fancy things. But friend, if it doesn't share the nature of the magnet, it doesn't get picked up. And you can mark her down that heaven born will be heaven bound because we share the nature of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. There will be a rapture. And then there will be a reunion. Look at verse 17. It says, it will be caught up together. But a day that's going to be when we're all caught up together. Amen? Some of you have mamas and daddies that are there. Some of you have brothers and sisters in there. Some of you may have children or grandchildren already there. What a reunion that's going to be. What a reunion that's going to be. Ms. Sister Alquist and I were talking just before service, and her mom ill, and my dad ill. And what a comfort it is it not, to know that they know the Lord. And you know what? If they go on, what a reunion day that is going to be. What a reunion day that is going to be. There is going to be a reunion. What are we going to be doing, preacher? You know what? We're going to sing and serve the Lord there like we never had before. Maybe we'll sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him." Hallelujah. Lord of all. Friend, when he discerns between the righteous and the wicked, when the saved are taken to heaven and the unsaved are left to go through the great tribulation, then onto the fires of hell, then you ask that question and answer it. Does it pay to serve Jesus? Friend, it pays. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. But I believe we'll know we've done the right thing, although we already do. But I believe we'll know we did the right thing when we see Jesus face to face. Would you sing that chorus with me? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And all God's people said amen, right? Hey, listen, don't you forget it. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to think, "Oh, what good does it do? I'll just throw in the towel." No, no, no. The Lord remembers His own. Everything you've done for Him, He's not forgotten. The Bible says, He even has our tears in a bottle. That's amazing. He hadn't forgotten a thing, friend. Everything you've done for Him, He's not forgotten. He remembers His own. He rejoices over His own. He's going to return for His own. Let's keep on keeping on for the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Preacher, you come.